I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I want Monero, no bitcoins, cause when they track it, it feels like trash. I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I don't want no bitcoin, cause when they track it, it feels like trash. I got an undisclosed amount. All I wanna do is scream and shout. You cannot track me, you cannot trace me. All that is left is for you to hate me. Privacy matters, privacy matters. My pockets get fatter, my pockets get fatter. I'm feeling comfy, I'm feeling comfy. Knowing my wallet is private. Atomic swaps are coming so soon. When it does, the price gonna boom. Wait till you see it, you won't believe it. Wait till you see it, you cannot see it.
The Monerotopia Price Report segment is sponsored by Local Monero. Avoid using KYC exchanges. Buy and sell Monero directly for fiat, peer-to-peer.
All right, Mr. W.
Hello, hello. Can you hear us? You cannot. Hello, Mr. W.
Mr. W, are you there?
I think he was setting up and then, oh, no, he's there.
There we go.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Thank you for joining us.
It's been a hell of a week, huh?
I know.
No, man, it's just really crazy. But the charts actually look better this week than they did last.
Okay, yeah. Tell us what's going on. I was baffled by the fact that, you know, the market bounced back as hard and fast as it did.
Same. Yeah, ahead. We were expecting some lower prices over the course of this week just because all the craziness is going on. But, markets held up very well. And I think the privacy coins held up well because, again, there's just a slow kind of learning curve playing out as far as the different assets inside of crypto and what each one can do, use cases and that kind of thing. And privacy is definitely starting to get more attention and will, in my opinion, over the coming months. So this is a good start. You know, I think if we look at the daily chart right here, we have the lows from back in January, and then we had a lower high here, which kept market structure bearish for another run to the downside, which we saw last week. Although here we have on this 8 candle, you can see the 8 above, which signals that as far as this indicator, the TD goes, that we're close to a bottom. And so in this candle formation right here, this rejection off of these lows, so we create a new regional lows right here below this low, but it got rejected right back to the upside. That's typically a very bullish sign, and this could be what's called a Wyckoff spring, meaning this is the ultimate low of this whole cycle right here. Hmm. Possible, not guaranteed, but certainly possible. And now we follow up that candle with a blue SCMR reversal signal indicating that price action is saying that we could have a sustainable reversal back to the upside here, at least on the USD pair. So we hit 132, and I was saying for TCV, between 130 and 150 was probably where you wanted to be active if you felt like getting into a trade on the long side. And that turned out to be right. Now we're back at around 160, hitting a little bit of short-term resistance. But the count here has flipped back to green. Volume is looking better here. If we look at money flow, we've gone slightly positive with a little uptrend, which is nice. We have a big, nice MACD bullish divergence here. You can see we had lows here. And MACD, the histogram here, went down to about -9, -10. Here we have a lower low on this 8, like I said, but we only got down on MACD to, you know, call it -4 or 5. So that's a bullish divergence, indicating there's some hidden strength there. And we also see that in the momentum oscillators here in RSI. See, here's your January low. Here's the low here on RSI, which is a higher low. That's bullish. So next level we'd be looking at is about 170. That's the falling 50 SMA, and then 185, which is where we have old resistance dots right here. But in the scheme of things, this really looks like a pretty clean double bottom, again, with Wyckoff spring. And so we have everything we need really right here to create a sustainable bottom. I doubt that we just, like I said, rip to the upside, over the next few days. But over the next couple of weeks, I'll be looking for for upside here. If we look at the weekly chart, here we see another nice bounce off of the 200 SMA like we saw here. That sparked a little rally, but this was still on a red TD count, which is bearish. So we had a rollover here, but now we have a green one. We held the 200, nice, what we call a hammer candle right here, which typically indicates a reversal, and a blue SCMR reversal candle here, which we need confirmation on, but this looks better than the bottom did back here. So over the coming few months, barring any kind of crazy macro stuff, I do think we get a pretty decent rally here. And we see that in money flow has been positive through this whole thing, meaning that on a longer term time frame, larger players are accumulating right in this demand area. So again, I like this area. I think it's possible, again, if we get, something crazy like Russia goes into Western Europe or something like that, then you probably get a shot at 100, 120. But ultimately, I think we're very close to cycle bottom here, and we can start building a base to move up higher on the USD pair. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I'm thinking there might, there could be some another major event, right, related to what's going on in Ukraine that pulls us back down. Obviously, nobody knows, but
certainly. That's possible. And I would view that, given the reaction we saw last week, I would view that as a huge opportunity, because obviously the market, at least the market for cryptos, seems to be accepting whatever this news is, no matter how bad, pretty well.
Mm-hmm. How about like a, they come out and say sanctions, kicking Russia off the SWIFT network, right? Because that's something we've heard that's being talked about, hasn't happened yet as far as, right? I don't believe they...
Yeah.
They moved to that level yet?
No.
What do you think the effect on the market?
I think it would be somewhat delayed. I mean, you might even have an initial reaction to the downside just because there's going to be this narrative of, oh, Bitcoin, Monero, crypto is being used by this, essentially what's being treated as a rogue state. And so you might have just some initial kind of traditional finance reaction like that. But as the market realizes that it's an avenue for not only Russia, but any country that's kind of in a position to be sanctioned by the West as an outlet, to survive, I think when the market prices that in over time, that's hyper bullish. I think it would kind of be the same thing with another attack or another, invasion or something, where you have this initial just gut reaction of the markets, everything, stocks, currencies, everything to the downside. But then as people start to digest and process what's happened, like happened on Thursday, Friday with the market just ripping to the upside, people start to go, wait, crypto is actually something that, has a very strong use case in a geopolitical situation like this. So I would stay bullish, and I would use dips on panics to continue to accumulate.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Cool, yeah. I hate to say I'm hoping for another little dip, because that would probably mean something bad happened, but it would be nice to see something where we could pick up some more cheap coins.
Definitely. And I mean, I think typically when we see turns in the market, we've had, it's been months and months and months of bear market action right at the bottoms. Right when things are turning is when you get everybody that wants the dip, So when it's when it's scary and everything's going down, everybody's scared to buy. But then when you kind of sense you're getting close to something in terms of a bottom, and then everybody's like, oh, I'm going to buy the next dip after the bottom, but then it never comes. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. I was just shocked by how fast it bounced back though. Right. It was just like, what?
Really?
It was all the whole market too. Right. It was wild.
Yes. Wild. I mean, and the volatility is kind of discouraging if you just are watching it from a day-to-day perspective. But like if we zoom out to this weekly chart, you can barely see it on here. And so it's really, at the end of the day, this stuff seems scary while it's happening, but markets are pretty efficient, have a pretty good way of pricing in a lot of this stuff, despite not all the uncertainty, honestly.
What do you think of the fact that Bitcoin really is not behaving as digital gold? If anything, it's the opposite, right? We're seeing it move in the opposite direction of gold. We saw that spike in gold when there was that kind of doom and gloom moment. People didn't know how bad things were going to get. Gold completely rallied. Bitcoin and the rest of the market went the opposite direction. It all dumped. Then things recovered. People saw kind of clear skies ahead. And once again, Bitcoin just went up with the market. So it's kind of acting the opposite as gold, like whatever risk. It's a risk on asset, right? So,
And I see that as like an intentional kind of narrative push by the establishment in order to get people to believe that crypto, Bitcoin is a risk asset in order to kind of neuter it a little bit, you know, during this pretty key, crucial time for, you know, what should be for Bitcoin. And so I think that that's like a, that's a push by the banks and by the, by TradFi institutions in order to slow down adoption and investment in crypto. And so, but you know, gold's just such an old school, safe haven asset that investors are already trained to treat gold as kind of a safe haven during times of uncertainty for hundreds of years. Whereas, you know, crypto is still developing its own narratives internally and externally. And it's pretty easy to just, you know, print up some articles. Oh, hey, Bitcoin is, you know, the new risk barometer. And then everybody on Wall Street goes, oh yeah, sure it is. And then stocks go down and they just start selling everything. So I think it, I think it's a temporary thing. I think, again, the market kind of takes some time to wake up to the truth a lot of the time. But when it does, that, you know, that gets priced in pretty quickly. But I think it's a, tactic. I don't think there's anybody out there that actually believes that Bitcoin is a hyper risk asset in times of global uncertainty. I think most savvy investors believe and know that it's a true safe haven, much more so than gold, but it's still so young and we're still so quote unquote, we're still so early, that it's easy, I think, for the establishment to portray these narratives in order to kind of inhibit growth. Because, boy, it is certainly a threat at this point.
Yeah. All right, that's an interesting take. And then how about the digital cash narrative? So we saw with the trucker convoy, Bitcoin really being exposed is not the greatest technology to use if you're trying to do censorship resistant private transactions.
Yeah.
If you're a dissident and you're trying to trying to raise funds, probably not the best thing to use. Do you think we're going to see another moment like that now with what's going on in Ukraine? We're seeing funds getting raised with Bitcoin, Bitcoin getting sent to Ukrainians. You think there's going to be some kind of moment there where there's this, once again, a realization? And at some point, do you think it's going to start to be priced into the market where people say, wait a minute, Bitcoin doesn't really provide this utility?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yeah, I think that, again, that's probably a slow process. But I think the one of the main things I think that why privacy coins and Monero in particular have had a hard time catching a real sustainable bid, despite all the reasons, you know, geopolitically why it should, is because a lot of investors are still, unfortunately, super scared of regulation, of just like outright bans of privacy coins or banning of non-custodial wallets or, you know, just a number of government actions when, you know, it's kind of, it doesn't make a lot of sense in that, you know, crypto is meant to thrive in that environment. If governments are cracking down, that's why things like Monero exist, so that we can still, you know, have the freedom to transact. But I think that's there's still this, again, there's this training by older school and, you know, bigger traditional investors that governments still are in total control of all this stuff. And, you know, if they're going to come out with legislation banning or restricting use of privacy cryptocurrencies, then that, you know, that would have a negative effect short term on the market, even though I think long term, again, it would prove the use case. So I think it just has a lot of people still nervous. And so, you know, I don't know how that gets resolved necessarily, other than maybe just continue to, you know, do its thing in the face of these crises. But yeah, it's, I think it's, you know, people are still scared of the space overall, and particularly privacy coins, just again, because I think there's been this narrative push about dark net markets and how, you know, only evil people are using these things. And so just kind of get over a lot of this, kind of regulatory worry. And just, again, we need a narrative shift back to the truth from, you know, kind of what the media portrays these shadowy figures using privacy coins,
Yeah, man. Good points. I mean, it's kind of like they want people using Bitcoin at this
point.
They're not afraid of Bitcoin. It doesn't really disrupt the state as much as claimed among the BTC maxis. It seems like they're okay with people using Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say with regards to price before we move on? Maybe XMR to BTC?
No, not really. I mean, so yeah, just on the BTC pair, TD9 signaling a bottom. Here we have a higher low, another reversal candle, counts flip. So, I mean, I'm feeling, you know, this very well could be a double bottom on the BTC pair too. So I'll be watching over the next few weeks, mainly this pair, because I want to see XMR start to outperform BTC, and then the USD pair, you know, follows along with that. But this is kind of the relative pair that I want to watch to see if what we were just talking about, if, you know, we're gaining some traction in terms of real world use cases and crises like we have now.
When you say maybe a double bottom, is that's a positive or a negative?
Positive. Very, very positive.
I think Tone Vase always sees double bottoms as a bad thing, right?
I know. Every technician kind of views the market differently in terms of technicals. But so his thing is double bottoms and double tops are meant to be broken. Essentially you did kind of break this double bottom with this lower low right here, although it didn't hold. So like, you know, here we just said, you know, we're coming into a double bottom. We're probably going to break it. We did. But essentially, again, at the end of the day, we ended up holding it, even though there was a slight break of market structure here, which tells me that there's plenty of demand to support us right here. So, you know, kind of trying to compare metrics with the technicals rather than just saying some broad statement like, oh, double bottoms are always broken. I want to try to pair, you know, any kind of demand or bid side metrics I can with the technicals to tell me whether in fact a double bottom is going to hold or not. And here it did. And so now I'm expecting higher prices, at least over the shorter term.
All right. There you have it.
Thank you
so much, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks to y'all for having me. And sorry, I was a little delayed.
No worries. We got it done.
Greatly appreciate your time. You're very to the point. Explain things very well. Good stuff.
Thank you. All right. Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
Sure. Cheers, man.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Again, really appreciate it.
All right, you got it.
I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I want Monero, no bitcoins, cause when they track it, it feels like trash. I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I don't want no bitcoin, cause when they track it, it feels like trash. I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I want Monero, no bitcoins, cause when they track it, it feels like trash. I want Monero, I don't want no cash. I want Monero, I don't want no dash. I don't want no Bitcoin, cause when they track it, it feel like trash.